It's my privilege to introduce to you someone who's no stranger to this place, Lamoris Crawford. Lamoris has an amazing story, and he shares that when he was a high school student, that someone in his family, growing up in the south side of Chicago, shared with him that drugs and gangs were not all this life was to be about. And it's in that moment, coming into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, that his life forever changed. He was the first in his family to go to college, starting at a junior college, then finishing a bachelor's degree here as well as a master's degree. He served as an admissions counselor here before taking the role that he and Megan and their four kids, which Megan, is that you standing over there? Hi, welcome home. They are the chaplains, and it is a partnership. They're the chaplains for the Cincinnati Bengals. And Lamoris, I just want to say welcome home, and we look forward to how God's going to speak to us through you this morning. Would you help me welcome Lamoris Crawford?
Yes, yes, yes. I am your unconventional chapel speaker. I hold no bars. I let it all out. So you guys got to be ready to receive. See, I was a student once, so there's different types of people here. You here because you have to be and you hate it. Some people might be dozing off and about to fall asleep, which I might just come smack you in the back of the head. See, I'm not employed here no more, so I can do that and leave. Come on. Dr. Bowler might text me and say, don't ever do that again. Or you here because you want to be. You wanted three people. See, you got to realize that you are in the best atmosphere that you can ever be in your life. That's the presence of God. People are getting their heads cut off to sit in a chapel service. You get caught with a Bible, 20, 30, 40 years in prison. And you guys, some of you, not all of you, and I love you. I love you so much that I'm going to tell you the truth. Amen? You could talk back to me, shout, do an owl dance, I don't care. But in that worship, you either received it or you didn't. I mean, you got to ask yourself the question, who is Jesus to you? Is he real? Is he just a guy that lived thousands of years ago? Is it the little TV show that NBC or ABC or the History Channel did? Who is he to you? See, he's been revealed to me, so I can't sit still. I know who he is. I know who he is. See, I grew up in the projects on the south side of Chicago. My grandmother. Man, hey. Man, I turn all the way up. But I grew up in the projects on the south side of Chicago. And my grandmother had 9 kids, and she raised them on welfare. My grandmother did the best she could with what she could to take care of her kids. She was a single parent. When I was 10 months old, my mother was murdered at the age of 17. She had my brother at 14, had me at 16. She was shot and killed at 17. I never met my father, don't know who he is to this day. My family don't know who he is to this day. So I grew up angry, bitter, and mad. My uncle was in a gang at 17. He was murdered. He was shot. My aunt at the age of 28 was murdered by her boyfriend. And then I had another aunt at the age of 15 that died from a brain tumor in the projects from asbestos. So when my grandmother, 4 kids died, she turned around and raised 9 grandkids. So I always grew up in a big house. We always struggled. We were very poor, and I was angry at life. Right? I grew up with a huge question mark on top of my head of who am I, why am I here, why me? So I was a kid that would rebel. My grandmother had one rule in her house, and it was this: I don't care what you do between 8 and 3:30, just don't come home. So mind you, school hours was my grandma's vacation time. So she was like, I don't care what you do, you getting up out of here. And there was 2 reasons why I went to school. Number 1, I got a free meal. I knew I would eat. Because I would come home and I'm hustling, eating syrup sandwiches, sugar sandwiches, powdered milk, just trying to survive. But if I went to school, I knew I would eat. The second reason why I went to school, I loved gym. Come on, anybody else love gym? Free Friday, get the ball all day. Come on, somebody. I picked up a basketball and it changed my life. It was a way of escape for me. So I began playing basketball. I hated school. I literally would come home, throw my books down, and go outside. I was out 10, 11, 12, 1 o'clock in the morning, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th grade. No boundaries, no rules in my home. When I was 13 years old, a guy in my neighborhood walked up to me. He opened his hand. He had 10 crack rocks in his hand. He was like, hey, little boo, take this. My nickname was Boo growing up. He said, you go sell this. You bring me back 70, you keep 30. So I began selling drugs at the age of 13. I hated being poor. I hated being the kids that had holes in my shoes. I hated being a kid that was dirty. I hated poverty with a passion. So by a complete miracle, when I say miracle, I graduated to eighth grade. I do not know how I did it. I don't remember doing an ounce of homework. I do remember cheating all the time. That's about it. I do know for the state of Illinois, you have to pass a state constitution test. And I believe you needed a 75 to pass. I scored a 76. Come on, somebody. And they graduated me. I made it to high school by a complete miracle, 2,500 kids. By this time, I'm getting high, I'm drinking, I'm having sex, I'm doing things that 13, 14-year-old kids should never be doing. A little over 400 kids tried for the freshman boys basketball team, and I made it. I was 120 pounds, 5'4", and I made the basketball team. Come on, somebody. So I started my freshman year, started my sophomore year, started my junior year, and started my senior year. I was a four-year starter at my high school. And I come from a very long line of kids who made it to the league. I was exposed to pro athletes way early because a lot of guys from my neighborhood made it to the league. So that was my goal. That was my passion. That was my heart. That was my vision. That's all I knew, right? My heroes, our leaders in our neighborhood was the drug dealers and the gangbangers. That's all I knew. And so my junior year come, I'm doing well. Senior come doing well. I'm balling out. I always wanted to leave Chicago. I was like, give her brother a scholarship to Alaska. Send me to Africa. Just get me up out of here. Man, I ended up scoring a 14 on my ACT. How many came to Olivet with a 14? You about not raise your hand. It ain't happening. Man, I scored a 14 on my ACT. So all the schools that were looking at me turned their back on me. I took a scholarship at a community college. I played 1 year there. And when I was 19 years old, I made two decisions that changed my life forever. Number one, I looked back in my family tree and I saw the same repeated cycle. All the women in my family died young, prison, multiple baby fathers, kids on welfare, no education. All the men in my family either died young, prison, multiple baby mamas, kids, no education. And I thought to myself, if I do not get out of this cycle, I'm going to end up in it. The second and the greatest decision I made in my life, my first cousin was the leader of a gang in Chicago. He had about 300 kids under him. They carried dope for him, they carried guns for him, they did whatever he told them to do. Well, he met this girl at Wendy's who didn't have a ride home, so he walked her home. Her dad locked him in his living room for 3 hours and preached the gospel of Jesus Christ to him, and he got saved. Come on. Mm-mm. So, hey, some of y'all away from home, you know what I mean? You better be like, hey, you need to meet my daddy first. Come on, somebody. It took me 3 years to get my wife. 3 years, because I would not date unless her dad gave me permission. It's a whole nother chapel service. But so I finished at that community college with an associate's degree, first in my family, and I heard of a place called Olivet Nazarene University. Come on, somebody. Now, you got to realize, when I came to Olivet, right, this was the greenest grass I ever saw in my life. I mean, how many of you guys seen the movie Pleasantville? That's what Olivet was to me. It was like I was in a commercial all the time. People looking good, smiling, everybody moving in slow motion, you know what I mean? It was like... You know what I'm saying? I was like, is this real? Like, I was like pinching myself. But man, I came, I visited, I loved it. I knew this was what God wanted me to be. I ended up enrolling, man. God opened some doors for me. It's just unbelievable. I finished with my associate's degree, first in my family ever to go to college, and I completed my master's degree, the first in my family ever to go to college, in 5+ generations of my family. Amen. So, man, you thinking like, man, Lamorris, what does that story have to do with me? We balling. I come from two-parent house. We eat 5 meals a day. My Tiger Dollar account is fat right now. What do that story has to do with me? Hey, we got more in common than you think. Number one, you got to die to leave here. Ain't none of us escaping this piece of life unless Jesus cracked the sky. So the question becomes, what are you going to do with your life? You get one shot at this thing. Once you stop breathing, it's over. You're done. So how do you want to be remembered? Right now, almost every city in this country, you'll see a Martin Luther King Boulevard. How do you want to be remembered? You could pull out cash money right now. You'll see a face of a president. How do you want to be remembered? See, I had an encounter with Jesus that radically changed my life. The second thing we have in common is this. You're born a sinner. By default. Come on, where my team iPhone at? Team iPhone? Come on, man, if you got an Android, just lay hands on them. The Bible said to lay hands on the sick. Team iPhone, well, if I gave everyone here an iPhone right now, and you opened it up, it comes in the default settings. All the settings would be the same, am I right? Every single one. It comes that way. You're born a sinner. It's not your fault. It ain't nothing you did. You're born that way. So you need to have an encounter that can change your settings. So some of y'all open your phone, you change the settings, you might put a picture of Bae on the front, like Shorty. Hey, you might put a tiger on there, you know what I mean? You might put a Bengals logo. Come on, somebody. Who they all day, right? But anyway, you could change the settings. Well, God wants to change your setting, but you got to have an encounter with him. And that's what I want to talk to you about on the topic of, everyone say hashtag, the encounter. What time do I need to be done? When? 10 till. I'm about to fly. Yeah, I better put y'all seatbelts on. I'm just telling you right now. And let me say this too. If you tweet something negative about me, I will find you. Listen, I am still hood. My hood senses will come up so quick. I mean, for real. God deliver me, save me, but man, there's something in me. You know what I mean? I love you. I'll beat you down and pray for you. So for real though, man, don't be so negative, man. If you want to be negative, you ain't got to tweet it. Everybody ain't got to know. Just text yourself. You feel me? Just text yourself and be like, hey, man, I don't like dude. Okay, cool. Then you ain't got to let everybody else know. Real talk. You know what I mean? And I don't do Twitter battles. I just find you. Like, I know the director of admissions and the president of the university. Finding you is easy. You know what I mean? I still know my ID number. You feel me? 1303327. That thing locked in. I'll never forget that. So if you want to add Tiger Dollars, whenever I come back, do your thing. But hashtag the encounter. You got to have an encounter with Jesus. I'm not talking about religion, but I'm talking about a relationship. But let me tell you something. There's nothing special about Lemoore's. You don't have to endure a story like mine to have an encounter. Some people think, man, that story, that, no, you have a story. Everyone has a story. You got to realize that you're going to encounter someone that came from where you come from, that may have endured or battled what you're battling. God has called us to be interdependent, not independent. But you got to have an encounter with him. The word or the definition of an encounter is this: to come upon suddenly or unexpectedly. To come upon suddenly or unexpectedly. And you got to realize this: God, from the beginning of time, always wanted a relationship with man. Always. His whole intent was to kick it with us, to chill with us, to hang with us. Hey, if you need an urban translation of anything I say, just see Dean Webb. He got the urban translator handbook. But God wanted to hang with us. He wanted to chill with us. He wanted to kick it with us. He created the earth, everything in it, and then he put Adam in it. He didn't put Adam first. He wanted Adam to enjoy what he had. But you know what? He was setting the atmosphere to say, look, I created all this because I like it and I know you'll like it, so we can hang together. So the Bible literally says that God stepped out of eternity, put both feet on the planet, and formed Adam out of the dust of the ground. I am convinced that Adam was about 6'9", 265. Like the old LeBron, not this skinny, crackhead-looking LeBron. You know what I'm saying? The old LeBron that had broad shoulders, a 32-pack, swole. I mean, this brother was chiseled. I'm convinced he had a fro, too. He may have had the Bieber. We don't know. But he looked it good. But that brother was dead. He looked it good, but he was dead. And some of us live that way. We look good on the outside, but we're dying on the inside. We put on the front good in front of people, but dying on the inside. But Adam looked it good, but that brother wasn't alive. He was dead. The Bible says that God breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life. That word breath literally means, translated, a piece of God himself. God breathed into Adam's nostrils a piece of God himself. So when Adam opened his eyes, who was there? Man, talk to me. Man, if y'all was at a game, y'all be going crazy. If I was Wiz Khalifa, somebody, Lil Wayne, y'all, y'all be going crazy. We talking about the living God, and y'all sitting there looking at me like I'm crazy. When Adam opened his eyes, who was there? God. I believe he was like this. He wanted to encounter Adam. Look, Adam, man, dude, what's good? Look, I got some business I need to take care of up in heaven, but every day, 12 o'clock, I want to meet you here for lunch. You down? I'm like, for sure. Let's do it. So God would go up, do his thing. Hey, Jesus, hey, a plan, we gotta work on something, all right? Adam finna blow it, he don't know it, but listen, I need you to go. The Bible says that the lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. So God's not shocked at anything you do. Nothing you do surprises God. He knows the end from the beginning. Amen. So he was like, Adam, 12 o'clock, me and you, cool. God did his thing, came down, sitting at the table ready to eat. Like, man, Adam late. Hey, he tripping. Adam ain't never late. Where's this brother ate? The Bible says that God walked through the garden of the cool of the day looking for Adam. Why? Because he loved that encounter. He loved meeting with Adam. We know what happened. Adam sinned, broke fellowship with God. He lost his family. God so desperately wanted his family back that he put a plan in motion that no devil in hell could stop. And that was to send his son. Amen? So let's pick this story up with the life of Zacchaeus. Life of Zacchaeus. If you have your Bibles, really quick, Luke 19. I got 3 points. I give it to you, let you have it, and be outie. Cool? Zacchaeus, Luke 19, verses 1 through 10. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down for today. Everyone say today. He said, today, I lost my place. For today, I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him. Everyone say received him. Joyfully. But when they saw it, everyone say they. When they saw it, they all complained, saying he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Lord, look, I give half my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today, everyone say today, today, salvation has come to this house, because he also was a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Number one, if you're going to have an encounter with Jesus, you must seek him. You must seek him. It ain't about mama. It ain't about daddy. It ain't because you were raised in the church. It ain't because you're on a Christian campus. You got to seek him. Zacchaeus was a tax collector, which we know in scripture they were thieves. This brother would go, you know, collect taxes from the Jewish people, take it to the Roman government. That brother would pocket what he wanted and give the rest away. He was a thief. But the Bible says he sought to see who Jesus was. In his sin, he sought Jesus. It's amazing. When we mess up, we want to go sit in the closet by ourselves. We don't want to go to class. We don't want to come to chapel. We don't want to come to the altar call. We want to stay in our sin. Zacchaeus sought Jesus in his sin. Not only that, that brother embarrassed himself. He had paper. That's money. Zacchaeus had paper. The Bible says he ran. He couldn't see. He ran ahead. Let me pause there. You better watch who you call friend. You can't see Jesus because of the people you hanging with. You show me your 5 closest friends, I could prophesy your future. You become who you hang around. Your friends are like an elevator. They either take you up or take you down. Let me move on with my story. I am preaching better than y'all saying amen. So this brother ran and climbed in a tree. Now catch this, right? He's short. Politically correct, he's a little person. AKA, we used to say midget. We can't say that no more. Now catch this. How many of you guys remember Bugs Bunny? I'm a Looney Tunes kid. That's my generation. When Bugs Bunny would come to a tree, that brother would hug the tree like this and scoot up the tree. You know what I'm talking about? All fours? I see Zacchaeus doing that. Because a sycamore tree in Jerusalem, the branches naturally grow high on a tree. So he couldn't reach it. So this brother is scooting up this tree, looking silly to see Jesus. Sometimes you got to look silly for Jesus. Some of y'all be trying to look too good all the time. I can't raise my hand. I might wrinkle my shirt. I just got my hair dead. I ain't trying to sweat when worshiping chapel. Oh, no. When it comes to Jesus, man, there's no whole bars. You got to give it all you got. This brother who was a tax collector. Now, imagine he had paper. If that was me and I was rich, I would have found somebody that was about 6 feet tall and be like, hey, look, I'll give you $50. Can you give me a boost in the tree? You feel me? Can I get a boost? He didn't. He was willing to look to seek Jesus. You got to seek him. God is a gentleman, ladies. He won't rape you. He won't deceive you. He won't lie to you. He's the greatest gentleman you'll ever meet. But he's not going to make you serve him. That's not how God works. He did his part. The question is, how are we responding to what he did? The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. In scripture, all you very know, God loves the world. Why isn't everyone saved? Because they're not seeking him. You have to seek him. Zacchaeus was willing to seek Jesus in his sin. No matter the cost, it doesn't matter he had to climb a tree. No matter that he was rich, that he was a tax collector, he sought to see who Jesus was. You got to seek him. Amen. It is quiet at this Presbyterian University. Catch this. Number one, you got to seek him. Number two, you got to abandon what others think about you. Listen to this. This brother climbed up in the tree for he was going to pass. Listen to this. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, hold up. Have you ever wondered in scripture why Jesus never had to ask someone their name? He didn't look over at Peter and say, hey, Peter, what's the little man's name in the tree? Shorty, right there. God knows you. He created you. The Bible says he formed you in your mother's womb. He knit you together. He knows how many hairs are on your name. The Bible says that your days has been numbered. God is a great mathematician. Come on, somebody. He knows you. And let me say this while I'm here. I got to hurry up. God does not make copies. He only makes originals. There's something unique about you. 6 billion people on the planet, not one of us have the same set of fingerprints. Did you know that? Scientists now tells us that we do not have the same tongue print. God made you unique. Walk in it. Ladies, stop looking at magazines and comparing yourself. 99.9% of them pictures are airbrushed anyway. It ain't real. You are beautiful. The Bible says that God placed the stars in the sky with his finger and called them by name. Every star with his finger. Those same hands created you. How many of you guys know that everything God creates, he creates for a purpose and on purpose? God don't make accidents. I thought I was an accident. My mother was a prostitute. I thought I was an accident my whole life, not knowing who my dad was. When I found out that God formed me in my mother's womb, it changed my life. It gave me a platform to which I could pursue him because now I know who I am. You got to know who you are. More importantly, you have to know whose you are. The Bible says you've been bought at a price. You don't even belong to you. These my shoes. Ain't nobody taking them. They're mine. You don't belong to you. You belong to him. So you got to know who you are. Amen. Come on, somebody. So catch what happened. Jesus said, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. Not tomorrow, not yesterday, today. And I'm convinced, number one, Zacchaeus fell out that tree. I'm going to prove it in scripture. And number two, the house Jesus was talking about wasn't a physical house like Zacchaeus' crib. It was his heart. Watch this. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. My God, I got 5 minutes. Received him joyfully. I got to skip that point. My wife loves when I preach that point, but I can't do it, honey. I love you. But catch this. But when they, everyone say they. Those are the haters. You always going to have haters. Look at what the they said. They all complained, saying, he is going to be in guest with the man who is a sinner. Now this sinner, this brother who's willing to look silly, fall out of a tree to see Jesus, the very people who's walking with him, the they start hating on them. Listen, if you're not living all out for Jesus, you're going to have haters. If people aren't hating on you, that's a problem. Be not conformed to this world. See, it's easy to be like everybody else. It's easy to skip chapel. It's easy to compromise. That's easy. The hard thing to do is to be a person that stands in this generation and say, you know what? I'm not compromising who I am. I ain't going to do it. It don't mean you don't mess up. No, Christianity is not about being perfect. Christianity is about laying down your life every day. And it's not easy, but it's worth it. What are you willing to do for the person you love? I'll do anything for my family. I literally will kill for my family. But how much more would I be willing to lay down my life for Jesus? But they, don't worry about the they. This is worth tweeting right here. Never allow another person's opinion of you to become your reality. Never allow another person's opinion of you to become your reality. You know the reality that you live? God's reality. You better know what God says about you. Don't matter what no one else says. It only matters what God says. Amen. Right now, you're living in a sum of someone else's opinion. And that's good or bad. And I did it for a long time. I knew the numbers, 50% dropout rate, 13.5% being an African-American in this country, 50% of us are in prison. I know what the opinions say. Oh, no, not me. I live God's reality. I'm the head, not the tail. I'm above, not beneath. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith alone, the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me. I know who I am. I can walk through life humbly with my head up and my shoulders back and my chest out. Superman can't hold me. Come on, I got 2 minutes. And that's an encouragement to you because he can't hold you either. The Bible says the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. I don't know if you know what it took to raise him from the dead, but it took power, Jack. Come on, somebody. Then Zacchaeus stood. I told you he fell out that tree. Why would that brother have to stand up if he didn't fall? He was already short. I mean. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord. Who did he say it to? Did he say anything to his haters? Stop replying to people that tweet bad about you. Don't reply. Zacchaeus didn't even address the people that was hating on him. He looked at Jesus. See, you got to keep your eyes fixed on him. The Bible says he's the author and finisher of your faith. He's the Alpha and Omega, beginning and end, first and last. Amen. It is. Man. Catch this. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, I give half my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. Number three, if you're going to have an encounter, you got to change. Number one, you must seek him. Number two, you got to abandon what others think about you. And number three, you got to change. God saved you the way that you were, but he does not intend for you to stay the same. We're the only faith on the planet that causes us to grow and to become more like Jesus. No other faith has that. God has called you to grow up. Now, right now in college, these are your character building years. You working on character. Whatever you refuse to conquer now will ultimately conquer you. You better get the conquering. Any character flaws you have in your life right now, this is the years to work on it. Because once you get in the real world, Jack, it's done. I've counseled alumni from this school that aren't doing well. Sat in the same chapels, same professors, listened to the same president, same chaplain, aren't doing well. Why? They didn't know who they were. Jesus was a game. This is real. Once you get out the bubble, I'm telling you, it's a real world. There's a target on your back. You are a believer. I gotta go. Oh my gosh. And Jesus said to him, did Jesus address the haters? No. Your relationship with Jesus is about you and him, no one else. Catch this. Today, everyone say today. Today. Salvation has come to this house. Was he at Zacchaeus' house? No, he was talking about his heart. Everything with Jesus is a heart issue. It has nothing to do with religion. It all has to do with relationship. It's a heart issue. A man must be born again. That literally means to have a regenerated heart. You need a new heart. I was supposed to wrap down on this, but I didn't. I apologize. Today, salvation has come to this house because he also was a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Did you catch that? He came to seek. So the whole time Zacchaeus was seeking Jesus, Jesus was seeking him. He's seeking you today. He's seeking you right now in your seat. 10:51 a.m. I'm a minute over. God is seeking you. Everybody, close your head, bow your eyes. Bow your head, close your eyes. No one looking around. You might be here this morning. You say, you know what, Lamorris? I haven't really had a true encounter with Jesus. I know him. I've heard of him. I've been to church, chapel, all that good stuff. But I really want to encounter with him. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you up. I'm not going to have you stand. If you want to be included in the prayer to have a true encounter with Jesus, just throw your hand in the air. All over the room. Go. Don't be ashamed. Don't worry about nobody else. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right, you can put him down. Pray this after me. Say, Father in heaven. Pray this after me, everybody. Father in heaven, I recognize that I am a sinner in need of a Savior. I believe in my heart and I confess in my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. He came to the earth. He died for my sin. He was buried in a grave, but he rose again. From this day forward, my life would never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you guys. Thank you.
Okay, so one more minute's okay then. That was worth an extra eight? Is that worth an extra eight? Sorry, faculty, staff. Full day this morning. But would you do me a favor? If you remember last week, we extended hands to those that were going out to MIA trips. This guy has an incredible ministry to athletes in the Cincinnati Bengals, and he and Megan and the stuff that they're doing, the work they're doing. So could we pray for them before he goes? Grateful for the ways God's spoken to us. And would you do me a favor? As we extended our hand to those that were down here, would you extend your hand towards Lamorris, and we'll pray for him and ask God to bless him in his ministry. Father God, we're grateful for the way that you sought Lamorris out, for being a God who found him when he didn't know who you were, didn't know what you were about, but obviously, Father, we're grateful for the way that you have changed his heart and his life forever. And we don't believe the enemy leaves him alone. We don't believe the enemy leaves us alone. So we pray for protection for Lamorris. We pray protection for Lamorris and Megan in their marriage, the trenches that they're in trying to give people a picture of what it means to be a follower of you and a person of the kingdom with athletes that make a lot of money and have a lot of entitlement. But Father God, I pray that you give Lamorris and Megan favor.
Thank you, Lord.
That you go before them, that you surround them, and that the impact and the ministry that they have there for your praise and glory is amazing, because that's who you are. Thank you for Lamorris. Thank you for the role this place, because of you, played in his life. Yes. And the life that he lives now because of the way you live in and through him. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks. Amen.
Thanks, you guys. As you leave class chapels tomorrow, pay attention. You'll get an email this afternoon. You can go ahead and start leaving. There'll be an email sent out with your venues, so you're in class chapels tomorrow. Have a great day.